A few minutes later, they had landed and had pulled the lightweight craft completely out of the water and upon the gently sloping shore. Now that they were out of the mists, they could see the sky paling above the eastern mountains.
"Dead reckoning come alive," Burton said. "We're 10 paces beyond the Grailstone near the ruins."
He scanned the bamboo huts along the plain and the buildings evident in the long grasses and under the giant trees of the hills. Not a single person was to be seen. The valley was asleep. He said, "Don't you think it's strange that no one's up yet? Or that we've not been challenged by the sentinels?" Frigate pointed toward the lookout tower to their right. Burton swore and said, "They're asleep, by God, or deserted their post." But he knew, as he spoke, that this was no case of dereliction of duty. Though he had said nothing to the others about it, the moment he had stepped ashore, he had been sure something was very wrong. He began running across the plain toward the hut in which he and Alice lived. Alice was sleeping on the bamboo and grass bed on the right side of the building. Only her head was visible, for she was curled up under a blanket of towels, fastened to each other by the magnetic clasps. Burton threw the blanket back, got down on his knees by the low bed, and raised her to a sitting position. Her head lolled forward and her arms hung limply, but she had a healthy color and breathed normally. Burton called her name 3 times. She slept on. He slapped both her cheeks sharply. Red splotches sprang up on them. Her eyelids fluttered, and she went back to sleep. By then, Frigate and Ruach appeared.
"We've looked into some of the other huts," Frigate said. "They're all asleep. I tried to wake a couple of them, but they're out for the count. What's wrong?"
Burton said, "Who do you think has the power or the need to do this? Spruce and his kind, whoever they are?"
"Why?" Frigate sounded frightened. "They were looking for me. They must have come in under the fog, somehow put this whole area to sleep."
"A sleep gas would do it easily enough," Ruach said, "although people who have powers such as theirs could have devices we've never dreamed of."
"They were looking for me," Burton shouted.
"Which means, if true, that they may be back tonight," Frigate said. "But why would they be searching for you?" Ruach replied for Burton, "Because he, as far as we know, was the only man to awaken in the pre-resurrection phase. Why he did is a mystery, but it's evident something went wrong.
It may also be a mystery to them.
I'd be inclined to think they've been discussing this and finally decided to come here, maybe to kidnap Burton for observation or some more sinister purpose."
"Possibly. They wanted to erase from my memory all that I'd seen in that chamber of floating bodies," Burton said. "Such a thing shouldn't be beyond their science."
"But you've told that story to many," Frigate said. "They couldn't possibly track down all those people and remove the memory of your story from their minds."
"Would that be necessary? How many believe my tale? Sometimes I doubt it myself."
Ruach said, "Speculation is fruitless. What do we do now?"
Alice shrieked, "Richard!" And they turned to see her sitting up and staring at them. For a few minutes, they could not get her to understand what had happened. Finally, she said, "So that's why the fog covered the land, too. I thought it was strange, but of course I had no way of knowing what was really happening."
Burton said, "Get your grails. Put anything you want to take along in your sack. We're leaving as of now. I want to get away before the others awake."
Alice's already large eyes became even wider.
"Where are we going?"
"Anywhere from here. I don't like to run away, but I can't stand up and fight people like that, not if they know where I am. I'll tell you, however, what I plan to do. I intend to find the end of the river. It must have an inlet and an outlet, and there must be a way for a man to get through to the source. If there's any way at all, I'll find it. You can bet your soul on that. Meanwhile, they'll be looking for me elsewhere, I hope. The fact that they didn't find me here makes me think that they have no means for instantly locating a person. They may have branded us like cattle," he indicated the invisible symbols on his forehead, "but even cattle have mavericks, and we're cattle with brains." He turned to the others. "You're more than welcome to come along with me. In fact, I'd be honored."
"I'll get Monat," Kaz said.
He wouldn't want to be left behind.